Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Look at somebody and tell them, I need you.
You need me.
We're all apart.
We're all.
that may hear you. You need me.
You need.
Oh, we're all.
We're all a part of God's plan.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree.
Anybody else, but you are important to me. I need you to survive. I need you you need me, we need each other. But we're told, don't be needy, though. Don't be needy. We know we need each other, but no neediness. The confusion of the intellect when it comes to matters of the soul. The confusion of the intellect, the egoic mind, when it comes to matters of love. And the confusion that we experience when we get so intellectual about life that we're forgetting the importance of being close, the importance of reaching out to another, the importance of embracing another, the importance of just being there for somebody who's feeling alone, somebody who feels like, I know I'm needy, I know I shouldn't be, but I just wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to hear your voice. I just need you to come over. I just need you to hold my hand. Oh, my God, no, that's weakness. Oh, no, you got issues. You need a therapist. Well, maybe they do. But can you be the therapeutic healing balm so that you can support them? What's at the root of neediness? What's at the root of loneliness? What's at the root? What's at the bottom of feeling abandoned? Well, we're going to talk more about that. And as I express, share, receive, download, I see my friend Tamara in the chat room. I'm hugging you right now, knowing that all is well. I don't know if you've actually put down your wonderful family member, your cat. If you have or not, I'm still hugging you. I'm still holding you up. I know all is well. And the beauty of supporting an animal, a human being, to make their transition. The beauty, the sacredness of birthing a being, birthing an animal into the next realm. Oh, it's a matter of the heart. It sure is. And comes out of that comes loneliness. Out of that comes neediness. Feeling like we're abandoned or we abandoned someone. So everyone that is listening to this show, and those that are not even listening, that are feeling abandoned, that are feeling like they're missing a loved one, that are feeling lonely, that are feeling needy, I am extending my hands energetically right now and saying, here I am, I'm here to love you up. And you don't have to change a thing about you. As I learn to love myself when I'm feeling the neediness, when I'm feeling alone, when I feel abandoned, when I feel separated, it's time to take spirituality and drop it down in consciousness and get in touch with what is real. What is real is love. But we want to calculate ourselves to pure, unadulterated love. But love won't have it. Love tells you, listen, I'm going to attract you to me. I don't care how you get to me because I love you. Call it needy. Call it loneliness. Call it abandonment. I don't care. I love you and I want you to know me. And if you're not ready, if you're not ready to wed yourself, I wasn't going to say that, but I don't know where the ready came from. If you're not ready for a wedding, to marry yourself, to marry your so-called issues, to marry your fears, to marry your insecurities, to marry the fact that you're afraid to say you need somebody. You can stick around, but be gentle with yourself because we're ready to blow you open. We're ready to break you open. I have my dear sister friend. I am so full. This conversation is it was triggered from a conversation I was having with Onifa Funke last Thursday. And I got to say this because I know once we start talking, when I bring her on, I might forget. And I was going to say this yesterday, last show. And if you don't know what the last show is because you listen to this archive days and days later, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. All that matters is now. And I just want to set this. It's a different way to start the show. It always happens. We do what we are led to do here. I had I'll tell you about that later. But I was telling Onifa Funke that we started this conversation about loneliness, right, and neediness and abandonment. I started talking with her, and it's kind of like this. It's like I knocked on the door, and I said, oh, you want to go jogging? You want to go on an inner jog? And we're going to do the loneliness, neediness, abandonment jog. And she said, oh, certainly. I was like, yeah, you know, do I need to get the work in? But yeah, I just been kind of, sometimes I just can't get myself to. She said, come on, let's go. So we're jogging. We're going. And we're sharing and talking. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then after a while, I start to feel like, and she's going, and then suddenly there's a gap between us. And I'm like, woo, she's ahead of me now. Oh, boy, I can't catch up. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're an expert in this. And I started to see things I hadn't seen when it comes to neediness, when it comes to loneliness, abandonment. And I was like, my sister, let me just sit at your feet and feed me some oxygen because I'm out of breath. I can't breathe. Oh, I talk more about that. That was, we started the show with Hezekiah Walker. I Need You. That's the title of the song. I Need You to Survive. It's just the way it is. I need you to survive. I don't care what you do or don't do. I need you to survive. So get over yourself. I'm needy. So, what? As a matter of fact, I need to survive, and I need you. So stop running from me, because I'm going to track you down. You want to take a different spin, a different look. One look at neediness, loneliness, abandonment from a different perspective. But I feel so much that I feel like I want to get into the show, and it's 18 after the hour, and we haven't even welcomed you. But you know what? I have. Because I welcomed you through my heart and I felt yours. For those of us and the part of me that likes to do things in a certain way, it needs me to do it the way I do it. So I will honor that part of me that needs that system. So come on, welcome them. I love you and I need you and I welcome you. So, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change is inspired. That's right. I want you to sit with that. This is a place and a space where change is inspired. And from that place of inspiration, oh, change begins. You get to see something differently. You get to see yourself differently. And when you become one, when you catch the inspiration of change, and change starts to happen, you can't help but make a difference, even without trying. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. And what else do I need to tell you? I don't know. I am your host. That's right. I am is the host. And I am presence. The I am is showing up as Life Coach Ade. Ademola Anifowushe. But in this context, I am even so much more than those names. But we do need the names too. Because, you know, we don't want to be so woo to say, I just don't understand saying I am presence. What the heck does that mean? it is what it is. That's right. It is what it is. It is what it be. It is who you are. That's what the I am presence is. And we welcome you to the house of love. The house of transformation. I want to bring on my wonderful friend, my co-producer, Celeste. Cece is in the house. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
Hello, Life Coach Jay.
You better be ready, girl. I tell you. You better be ready. You can't be like multitasking. Well, you can. You should. You need to.
Well,
but while multitasking, be ready.
I was ready for you, man. Stop cutting up. You've been listening to your own songs, I see.
Oh, no, that's not.
Don't forget to tell them about that. I've been having a lot of fun on Life Conversations Radio fan like page, as well as the Ask Life Coach Today Radio show fan like page. And I don't know if you're going to tell them about that again, but
go ahead.
Woo-wee.
And tell them.
Well, see. Listen, y'all. And hello, all y'all, and there with me, sis, in the house. Hey, Glenda and Tamara, much love to you, and guests and Sweet Tea from D.C. I'm not shouting out. I'm loving out. Okay?
So we don't do shout outs. Don't do shout outs.
We don't do shout outs.
But we don't do shout outs.
We love out. So I just did a love out, so you can't get me. So listen, if you haven't checked it out yet, I've posted it on the walls, but there are these songs that Life Coach Today has come up with to explore this energy about loneliness and neediness and abandonment and what we've been thinking about while we listen to it. Now, I have no judgment. There's a couple of songs on that list. I'm like, I like that song. I know he's going to have some really interesting things to say with our special guest. So you can check it out, my beautiful people. And if you want to see it even better, go to Highlights and then click on Post by Others, and you will see a listing of these amazing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clarifying my question today?
Get out my chi.
Okay, get out
your chi. Well, a couple of things. Yes, and I really would like us to use this, you know, let me go there so I can guide you. If you go to the Like page right now, or Like pages, because there's one Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show Like page, which is a mouthful, cause, and then there's a Life Conversations Radio Like page. Stop it. But anyway, moving right along, if you scroll down right under on the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show, you see where the picture. Underneath that, you scroll down, and there's a sort of icon, if you will, it says highlight. Click on that, and then you see post by pages and post by others. I'm encouraging you, those who are listening online, those who are on the phone, those of you, wherever you're listening from, even if you listen in the archive, go there. I want us to have a conversation. Let's have this neediness, loneliness, conversation out loud. So post your comments, maybe there's some songs that speak to what we're talking about that you think, oh my God, if there ever was a song, an anthem for neediness, this is it. Post it there. And also you can do that on Life Conversations Radio. So you see highlights, click on the highlights and scroll down to Post by Others. And we have some songs there already. And I've got to tell you, I mean, I love music. I love songs because they speak to my soul. And some of these songs I love, some I never heard of. But I got to tell you, I didn't do this research. My wonderful guest, my sister, Onifa Funke, was the one that was just churning them out. I was like, damn, girl.
So
how long have you been doing this?
Why it's so diverse. I'm just kidding, Life Coach.
What
she did
do you
a great
mean,
job.
No one is so diverse?
Just kidding.
What's your mouth?
I was like, what does he know about Brian Ferry? I knew it. All right, Priestess Anifa, work. I love it.
I'm glad you didn't say, well, for your sake, I'm glad you didn't say, what does he know about the foreigners? Because I love that song.
We all know I want to know what love is.
So time. I want to know what love is.
I want you to show me,
but there's nobody here. But can somebody show me? Okay, all right.
Okay, but you know what? You can't because you can't show us what love is if I can't get through the announcements. So I'm going to bounce out and do these announcements. I'm really, really looking forward to this show, and welcome. I call her.
Oh, before you do the announcement, sorry to interrupt again. Before you do the announcement, anybody who thinks I'm together, I'm grounded, I know myself, I am one with the one, I'm not vibrating with this conversation, Life Coach Ade is really going down on negativity. It's okay. Come back tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be, but it's okay for you to not listen to that, okay? All right? But you know, if it kicks you off, we're in your stuff. You know you can.
Stir. I got one more I'm going to throw on there. Just one more. Okay. I have to do it. I'm ready. Okay, I'm about to do these announcements.
Okay.
So wonderful spending time with you, Life Coach Ade. Here we go. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Nutty Professor, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and our beautiful guest, Krista Sanifa, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure that you press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. You also have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Also, be sure to let him know which topic you would like for him to cover on an upcoming show. You can email him that, too. The theme for the month of May is Multiplying the Consciousness of Truth, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Life Coach Today is flying solo tomorrow to offer you some soul food for your consciousness. If you are going through a challenge or have a question about what is moving in your life, make a date with Life Coach Today and join him for a life-shifting conversation. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Umbasa Safera for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. There's also Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Then you can join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Feel free to go to LifeConversationsMedia.com for more info. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to InspireBroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Yep. Stay present.
I'm gonna go play on it now.
You gonna go do what?
I'm gonna go play on the like page. I got something for Priestess Anika. She's gonna trip out when she sees what I'm gonna throw up on here.
Okay,
so
yeah, feel free to add songs about neediness and loneliness and love songs that are so sad, but we love them. And then
all
when people need us.
I'm done.
Oh, gosh.
Don't want to be.
yeah, post that on there. And what's the other one that I think is Celine Dion? I'm everything I am
because
you love me. Oh, gosh. Okay, let me bring my dear friend on because I'm cutting up.
Please do.
I don't want to cut up like this. All right,
really?
Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye. Yes, yes, yes. Should we take a break now? We're just going to jump into the conversation. We'll take a break at 1 o'clock and then do commercial break, Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. I just want to bring up my friend. She's been waiting patiently, and she has so much to share. She's a priestess. She is God in action. She is goddess in action. She is compassionate. She is loving. Her voice will heal you. It just. I am so grateful to know her, to connect with her, and I'm grateful that she is in my life. And those of you saying, who is this she you're talking about, Wayne? I mean, I'll tell you in a minute. Let me read a little bit, just a tiny little bit. Oh, Celeste, I need the third question that didn't get in the description yesterday. Yeah, let's just be really open rather than send you a message behind the scenes. Psh, forget that. I refuse to work hard today. Oh, my dear friend, she is indeed a priestess. Onifa Funke Adesanya Awuyade is a priestess, author, educator, ritual artist. And if those names throw you off, calm down, it's okay. Just listen with your soul. Onifa Funke, and don't come in here saying, I'm sorry I can't pronounce your name. It's Onifa Funke, priestess Onifa Funke. Yeah, call her priestess if you're still tripping. But anyway, I'm just messing with you. Don't take me serious. Take me playfully. She is the co-founder of Reiki Services and the foundress of the Institute of Africana Cosmology. Onifa Funke's experience is extensive. She has held multiple workshops, presentations, and seminars. She is also the recipient of the Iyanla Van Zandt Award for Transformative Spirituality in 2008. And I met this sister for the first time about a month ago or so. Actually, yeah, it's about a month ago. And the sister had workshops like I don't know, 10 to, I know she'd probably say, stop it, but I'm going to tell it, like 10 to 11. And then there was another workshop around 11:45 to 12:45, and then something like that, and then around 1:30 to 2:30. This is to start the workshop. But the first workship she did, folks, they were just moving to one workshop after the other. They could not leave her space. And because of what she carries, because of who she is, and her compassion. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, especially the skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my dear friend, my sister, priestess Onifa Funke Adesanya. How are you, Adesanya?
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I love the applause, the canned applause. It made my day. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
That was an ancestral welcoming. That was your ancestors saying, ah.
All right. They're probably saying, what is this girl doing now? We told her to go to college and get a good job. Look at her. Here she is on the radio. Talking about neediness. She needs to be somewhere with a little stethoscope around her neck being Dr. Onifa, but instead, she's on the radio walking people through the shadow of doubt of the facets of love they run from. So, yeah, that probably is my ancestor saying, here she go again. We love her, so let's just see what's going to happen.
That's right. Sure. Whatever she does, we got her back. So, like, we don't
That's
know what
right.
she's going to do, but we got her back. We're going to push her on anyway.
That sounds like my mom and them, as the folks used to say as I was a child. So, yes, thank you for the canned applause from Arun. I'm glad that my disembodied spirit beings are with us today and, you know, rooting us on. So thank you for having me. Thank you and your lovely producer, Celeste, for having me back here on the show.
Yes, you know I love you, my sister. You know I love you. I'm grateful to have you here. And you've opened my eyes, my awareness to loneliness and neediness and abandonment in a whole different way. I'm just like, damn, oh gosh, where you learn this from?
Slithering.
Let me tell you. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. And so this is what we're going to do. First, what we're going to do, because my listeners know I've got to ask you this question, is we jump in. I've talked a little bit about you, but I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Priestess Onifa Funke?
Okay, well, I'm just a regular person who went to school like everybody else and carried my lunch and tried to do what I was told to fit into what people said I should grow up and fit into. Just a regular person, you know, ate a little McDonald's, went to the skating rink, never learned how to skate, went to high school, went to college, had a family. It did all the regular stuff that we were told to do, except for one twist, which is my call from the spirit world led me to take on a profession that is not as popular probably in 2013 as it was in 1813. But that's all right. Like you said, my spirit, my ancestors have my back. So I'm a regular person who just enjoys helping people to see themselves fully. That's who I would say I am today. And I'm a Gemini, so this may change. You know, talk to me on the next show. I may have a whole different description. And, yes, they all fit together. It's all the multifaceted, like a beautiful gemstone of my personality. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
Yes, you are, and you do it so beautifully. You do it effortlessly. But I also am aware, because of the work that I do in this kind of work of supporting people to see their best selves, to embrace themselves there. And not just even that, even artists, people who are living out their soul's mission, what they're here to do. When we get in alignment with that, when people do that, it looks like what they're doing is effortless. But it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of pain. It takes a lot of breaking down. It takes a lot of breaking open to be able to show up and be able to support others, to inspire others, to help people feel good. And but I'm grateful for everything that you've gone through and still going through to give birth, all those things gave birth to who you are today. And I look forward to experiencing more of who you are.
Thank you.
You know, let's talk about this. Well, let me give a little backstory, because I don't mind being transparent. Well, actually, I do mind sometimes. I'm like, I'm going to start sharing my story. Can I just appear like I just came to this planet, I got it, you know, I'm just, like, enlightened, and I didn't have to deal with all the stuff that people dealt with? No. So, listeners, here's how this conversation started, and it was as I said, I met Onifa about a month ago. And we've had some beautiful exchanges over the past few days and since that time. And it was like Thursdays. Thursdays are sort of my wind down days. And somehow it's almost like everything that I've done between Saturday and Wednesday, it's like Thursday's the day to wind down and, you know, energetically stuff to be moved without me knowing it spiritually and emotionally, things are shifting, and it's almost like I get to, it's like going to a retreat for a weekend, right? And you come back home and then it's like, oh, I was high on the weekend at the retreat, but now all this stuff is popping up. So Thursday sometimes can be one of those days. And I was in that place of just feeling alone. And I remember calling Onifa. I call her Onifa, but she's a priestess and she's so much more, so bear with me. So I called her and left a message and said, you know, I haven't heard from you. I need help. This brother needs some groundedness. He needs to feel grounded. Oh my God, I feel like a part of me is needy. But I'm paraphrasing. But from that, it started a beautiful exchange that left me going, wow, how I try so hard to hide the part of me that is needy. How I judge the part of me that sometimes feel lonely. That's right. There are moments where I just feel alone. I do this work. I know a lot of people, but there's sometimes I'm in my space and I just feel alone. I feel like I'm just out here by myself. And just through that exchange, I just said, we got to have this conversation on this show. And I want to ask you some questions, but I really want to have a conversation with you, my friend. But so I'm going to ask a question, but I'm also going to couple that with, if you're feeling led to go somewhere else, do it. So the question I want to ask is, how do you see loneliness, neediness, and abandonment? But if you are feeling to go somewhere else, or you want to blend all of them together, just do your thing. We're just having a conversation, and the listeners are having the privilege to eavesdrop on our conversation, our private conversation.
Okay. Mm. I like that. I see all three of those states of being or experiences as part of the human condition that should not be, how can I put, demonized any more than joy, happiness, or abundance, you know. We reach for joy and happiness, and our culture here in America has encoded in its constitution for us to pursue happiness, which I've found has led to some really neurotic people's behavior, because happiness for one person isn't necessarily good for the culture, the family, or even themselves. So we have this kind of runaway pursuit of happiness at any cost that we don't really stop and look at. And in my opinion, has many times been exploited by market forces. You know, so now the idea is that you can buy happiness if you don't have enough of it in your own head or heart. Just go out and spend some money, you know, at the mall and come away with something that makes you happy. So the whole idea that happiness comes from outside of you is interesting to me. And then we talk about loneliness. And most people have an idea that loneliness and feelings of abandonment come from inside. So I found that to be very interesting, where people will go out looking for happiness. They don't go out trying to avoid, they don't go out looking for loneliness. And you say, well, that's undesirable to be lonely, but I don't think you can have happiness or joy without dealing with the other facet of it, which is sometimes mm-hmm. you feel needy and you feel alone. And I would pose the question, what do you do with that? Do you run from it? Most people try to mask it. I know people in the healing professions. I don't mean allopathic medicine. I mean the kind of soul spiritual healing professions, like clergy people, Reiki people, and energy healers. And I've had this conversation. Actually, I had this conversation within the past week by accident with someone who was busy telling me how they can't hold anger, that they never get angry, that they're beyond anger. They never
wow.
have a depressive day. Yeah, I get
really?
That a lot. Yeah,
oh my
I have
God,
two people
I'm scared of that person.
Who Oof. Are leaders. Ouch. I mean, they are leaders of websites, and you
wow.
can click on their website today to get some help, and they will tell you, I don't feel anger, or I don't feel
oh,
depression,
wow.
or I don't feel
oh, wow.
upset at other yeah. people. I've released that, and I think that's a form of people who want to be. That's the other side of I'm going to be happy no matter what. No matter what happens, it's my special day. Every day is my birthday. So my point being, I think that loneliness, abandonment, and neediness are very important parts of the human condition, much like breathing, exhaling, inhaling, drinking water, excreting. This is all part of being human, and I still find that most of our healing modalities in the West are still very much rooted in a bad good kind of framework. So it's good to be happy, but it's bad to be lonely. And I'm like, really? How could it be bad to be lonely? What does that mean? So I find people even coming to the healing work trying to avoid loneliness, trying to avoid dealing with it. I don't think anyone
yes.
seeks out loneliness, but they're trying to avoid dealing with it. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, of course, that's why we're having this conversation. And it's this, you know, when you were talking, I thought of the statement, in pursuit of happiness. You know, that statement, even as powerful as it is, we can say it is, but it suggests that we don't have it. So we got to pursue it. And in order to pursue happiness, clearly there must be an opposite. There's something else. So we don't always talk about the loneliness. We don't talk about the neediness. And it's, of course, society frowns upon it. We don't deal with it. We want to hide it. And then when we hide it, it comes out in the most annoying, irritating way. I saw something. Actually, I just went to the post. I saw something, and
someone posts this on their Facebook page, and for me, and it may, they may see it differently, but for me, how I see it, I honor where they're coming from. This is an expression of not dealing and being with loneliness and neediness, or even feeling the sense of abandonment. This person said, I would update my status, but no one cares. It's on Facebook. So I'll just read about the happiness of strangers with families, friends, and life's worth living. So it's like, it seems, it's almost like it's easier to say, well, nobody really cares about what I have to say, so I read about others. But what power is behind the statement? Or if someone can say, you know what, I feel alone. I feel needy. I feel like, you know, I'm being abandoned. And as a society, as you said, we don't make room for that. We're afraid. And listen, I really want to encourage you to go dig deeper here and for your own soul salvation, really. Don't do it for me. And you don't have to. But I just invite you, a suggestion. We have some questions here. Like, what if feeling lonely, needy, or abandoned is a path to experience a deep and profound love? Just if you just allow yourself to be with it. If you can tap into it and say, okay, instead of running from it, going to the happy hour, or feeding it with behaviors that you know are addictive, or you just got some things that you do, alcohol, sex, drugs, even the scandal. You know, some of us use that because we are needy, but we can't say that loud. So you live vicariously through Olivia Pope. Just something to think about. Just something to ponder. And for me, only for as a you know, our conversation around this, you know, and I want you to talk about the songs, because that's when I start to see the whole thing differently. You know, we hear the love songs, and we call them sad songs. And what's her name? Delilah. She has a syndicated radio show, and she's always talking about all the love songs and the sad songs. But then those of us on this spiritual path, we don't want to be sad. We don't want to deal with that negative energy. You're not lonely. You're not alone. God is with you. I get it. But we also got to honor the human experience. Can you talk about the wisdom of sad songs? Because you have so much to share.
Sure. Well, I wish I could remember the root of it, but jumping in right here, I want to talk a little bit about people being afraid of words, which is really new to me. Now, let me back up and say, when I was a little child, there were words that frightened me because of the image that would give me, like whippings. I knew that image that popped up in my head meant I was going to experience some physical discomfort. So, okay, I understand associating words with your own personal discomfort. What I found, though, in the healing, happiness, pursuit of all that I can be personal development field is a bunch of people, not just one, who really have almost it's not even paranoia. It's almost that to utter certain words will bring it about. Like, if I say right now I have $1 million, like, it's going to pop up, you know, on my table. So if I say I'm lonely, don't say that. You're calling it into being, and don't say it. So I don't know if we're reverting to early childhood or if we simply need more dialogue over how the thoughts create reality thing really works. But part of the idea of sad songs, I've noticed in the past 10 years, is that there were songs in the 70s and 80s that I grew up listening to that described the full range of human emotion within R&B. And you and Celeste mentioned some outside of R&B right before I came on that I had forgotten about. So there's this whole gamut of songs. I mean, there's a whole lot of songs that you've posted on your page that talk about the desire of wanting to be with someone and dealing with being alone. I'm thinking Patti LaBelle, On My Own. That's a song that comes to mind. She didn't expect to be on her own.
Let me hold you tight.
Oh,
even
yeah.
For one night. Only for one night.
Luther Vandross. Beautiful, right?
Yes.
Beautiful song.
Yes.
That describes this longing for a person to be in your space, and they took it beyond the physical. Of course, there's a physical component, but what I hear in these songs is either an absence, acknowledging an absence of emotional intimacy, as well as occasionally physical intimacy, and desiring both. And then I look at current contemporary songs, and I see that the culture doesn't talk about it in the same way. And I can name some more contemporary rap songs where there's a sense of men now singing about coming over to be with women, knowing that the women don't really want to be with them beyond the physical, and feeling that that's their role, and trying to accept it by using drugs. So it's a fascinating change that's happened in the past 30 years from, I want to spend a night with you, even if no one knows, I just really want to share this intimate moment emotionally and physically. And now we have people saying, well, she's so independent, she doesn't really want me around except for this physical thing, and I'm going to get drunk on my way over there to get through this. So it's a very interesting and sad, to some people, development. But my point is that popular music in the African-American community, in my experience, and in the country music industry, in my experience, has always spoken more to a wider range of human connection. And of course, we could go back and talk about blues, but the point is that people are expressing how they feel, even if it's socially unacceptable, which ironically, most of these music forms come from blues or jazz, which were socially unacceptable forms, rock and roll coming out of blues. So my point is we have a genre of music that is socially unacceptable by the mainstream, depending on what time period we're looking at. And within that genre, people are just exploring and sharing and pouring out what's really happening. So when I hear people tell me they're single and they're lonely, or they're coupled up and they're lonely, or they're not satisfied in their relationship or their jobs, or their children did not turn out the way they wanted them to turn out or the way they expected, that there's some emptiness, that they've kind of run head on into it. They can't hide from it anymore. They can't shop their way through it. They can't vacate their way to Jamaica out of it. They can't fix their outer stuff up. I call it decorating themselves. So they've decorated themselves with new clothes and makeup and hairdo. It's just not working. They really have to face that underneath all that, something didn't add up the way they thought it would. And they have to deal with their disappointment or their lack of connection to the people who are physically closest to them. And the songs that I discussed with you throughout our conversations share that exploration of feeling that is painfully absent to me from the personal development model that a lot of people are into now, where they would even go so far as to deny feeling lonely or to try to plug something in there, like, I'm lonely, but I know God is with me, so I don't have to be lonely because God is everywhere. Uh-huh. Okay. That's cool. But okay. You know, this isn't about God. This is about you. So instead of reaching for God like a drug, what about you? Because God put you in a physical body, from my perspective, so you could experience what we think of as time and aging and youth and illness and happiness, so you could fully live some things out in order to take this to your next incarnation. Like, it's no accident you have a body that ages and bones break and heads hurt and teeth ache or whatever. These physical manifestations and emotional manifestations of pain are just as vital as, you know, any other manifestation on earth. I just find that we tend to run to comfort. And I'm concerned about it because as a person who's helping people walk the road, if we don't start having conversations like this about what to do with the scary words like abandonment, what to do with the feelings, they become larger than life. We shrink back to the point where we over-exaggerate their importance in our lives. And I think that by us reacting to them so strongly, swinging to the other end, we're leaving a lot of people, the most vulnerable people, we're really leaving them alone. We're abandoning people, especially our youth and our elderly, by not admitting that people get lonely. You know, what do they think? Well, I guess I need to commit suicide now, because every time I look around, I want to talk about being lonely because my boyfriend moved away and people are telling me, don't worry, be happy. And I can understand where some people, without a cultural reference point, and that's what these songs are. The music that we discussed and is on your page, to me, are cultural reference points. So even if, you know, people don't share the same geographical location or workspace or what have you, these songs are put out throughout the ether now, through the internet and through Amazon.com, whatever, through radio. So the songs provide us all a place to stop and go, wait a minute, what was I doing when that song came out? I was in college. I had my first baby. We were moving into our first house. The music is very powerful music. The rhythm is very healing. Western culture calls it vibrational therapy or what have you. Everyone around the world knows that music shifts your vibration and can rebalance you. So it's no coincidence to me that the lyrics, the songs, the meanings, they evoke these memories in us. It just unleashes like a key. And we start to remember where we were, who we were with, who we were not with, who was alive, who was dead in our lives. We have all these things come up when we hear these songs. And on top of that, there's someone sharing with us their personal experience at that time. I love you. I miss you. I want you. You left me, whatever. And underneath that can be we can talk about longing and how to fulfill longing. Maybe it doesn't mean you get a gun and go out and shoot the people who don't give you what you want. If you have a song that talks about, yeah, sometimes we get fired. Sometimes our wives or husbands leave us. Sometimes we lose our houses. Sometimes we lose our car keys or someone robs us at the ATM. And none of that means that God isn't with you or you didn't pray enough or you don't have enough faith or this is not an indictment of you as a human being. It really just means you are being human. And sometimes being human can be messy, dirty, scary, unpleasant, uncomfortable, painful. It can be prickly to be human. It's a hard incarnation. It's not for everybody. And it's okay to have a hard day. It doesn't mean you have to take yourself out or other people. It just means it's a moment, and it will pass. Just like the song is 3.5 minutes long. It's going to begin. It's going to end. You're going to be okay. That's what I think the songs say to us. Instead of, I'm afraid of, look, don't say abandonment because then you're embracing your shadow and you can't let your shadow overcome your light. And I had a conversation with a big-time healer person recently who was busy telling me about how he thought his light would always overcome his shadow. And what I got from it was that he really was just afraid to talk about the shadow. He had the magical belief that if he even talked about his shadow, much like a Disney movie, it would just pop out or something and just, I guess, come out and dance a jig. And I'm like, wow, you know, how can he help people through their shadow moments except by helping them to medicate through it, you know? And I walk a different road, as I think you and your listeners can tell, where if you're happy, sad, suicidal, or about to give birth to twins, I think we ought to sit in that moment, and we ought to let that moment be what it is so you can fully sit in it and feel your humanness and understand when you feel something, the big moment is not to avoid your feelings, but to choose what action you're going to take. There has to be a gap between I feel happy, I think I'll go rob a bank, or I feel sad, I think I'll go hit my wife. I mean, there has to be a gap in between your feelings and then what you choose to do to emote them. And that's what I think the culture is losing. And even with the helping, healing people, I see this fear of, I feel abandonment. Okay. And then all of a sudden, we got to mask it and cover it up and go get something to eat or meat for drinks or see what's on the DVR or put in a DVD, and I'm like, wow, look at this. This isn't. What are we saying to the vulnerable among us, the raw? You know, one last statement. I've been fascinated by accidents by a woman in, I don't remember where she is, so I won't even try to take it there, but this lady was literally doing something that all parents tell their children to be careful doing. She was 14. She left home. She was going to the store for like a Snickers bar or something in 1984, and she was snatched by a local person. And he kept her for many years, and her life changed drastically. And she, you know, she escaped when she was like 21 or something, and she opened a program to help other young people who, you know, were just going down to get a Snickers bar or a snow cone or something and were taken. And when they come out of that, they really can't just go back home, you know, and go back to high school. In many cases, it's many years later. So anyway, this lady has this program. And I was struck by looking at her picture and reading about her work, how present she was with reality, that she did not afford herself the fantasy of having bad words or scary words, because she had lived out some scary stuff, right? So she was there for the people who I think we leave behind when we won't even talk about abandonment. So imagine people who really come out of some real stuff, and we're afraid to be sad. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just going to say it. So, you know, this lady is there. She started this nonprofit, and unfortunately, they're always struggling for funding, which I think is just awful, because the work she does, no social or state agency does. So when a kid is found in some, or a young person, out of one of these abduction scenarios, if the family's not around or if the family is unable to cope with them returning, which happens, they come to her program in either case, and they get, you know, the support they need to reintegrate into society. And I thought about that, and I thought how many of us have been abducted by the false allure of always being happy, you know, always having it together. I'm never sad. I never get angry. I never hold any bad energy toward people. I have some people tell me how they never apologize because they never do anything that would require an apology. Oh, okay. So what do you do when someone is raw and open and comes to you and says, you know, I've lost my entire family in a car crash and there's no one left but me because I chose to be late that day to meet them for lunch, and I came home to an empty house, and I can't go on. Do you tell them, well, you know, you don't say you're lonely. Just, you know, just think of it as, you know, what do you really say if you're afraid to deal with your own moment of time when you wake up at midnight and wish you had a friend to talk to? What can you say to that person? And most of us avoid those people in our work because we have not developed the skill set to deal with the raw human condition. So that's it for Onifa for now. I'm going to be quiet.
No, that was just, I mean, I have a lot to say, but you bring, for me, I listen to you and I feel like, oh my God, you just open in, not even aha moment. It's like this little rooms in my consciousness, just doors are just blowing open. And because it's so true. I mean, there's so much we can talk about here. And as you talk, I think of, you know, the in-between, when we don't know how to deal with the in-between, some people end up committing suicide. Some people end up, as you said, they go rob a bank or use drugs or have sex with a so-called wrong person or do something they're ashamed about. Or, you know, all these things happen. But then we judge what people do to mask and cover their loneliness, their sense of abandonment, their neediness. But when they're in that space, as you said, we don't really create a space for them to really sink into it, swim with it, because we haven't learned to do it ourselves. And then some religious institution would say, no, don't pay attention to your emotions. Your emotions will lead you wrong. But then we don't pay attention to emotions, and somebody's going to a church or wherever they're going, a mosque, a temple, whatever. They can't. They know something inside of them is steering, but they're telling them not to listen to it. They end up committing suicide. Then they say, oh, suicide is a sin to God.
Oh, my God, you're going to hell if you commit suicide. Oh, you're going to be floating between worlds. But are we creating a space for our children? Are we creating space for our teenagers? Are we creating space for ourselves when we feel vulnerable, when we feel weak because we think, oh, loneliness is weak? That's a question we need to ask. And I don't know if I would say it like this, because that's the best way I could say it. I don't know if any – I know that loving parents, no matter how hard you work, no matter how stressed you are, if your child comes to you and they say, Mommy, Daddy, I need a hug. We are not going to say to them, oh, you're too needy. Learn to hug yourself. Learn to go in the mirror and look in the mirror. Stop being so needy. You need to grow up. You know, people don't like needy. We say, oh, come here. And then that even touches us. We're like, oh, my God. It moves us in such a deep and profound way. And for me, I am really seeing that when we allow ourselves to sit honestly with the loneliness, with the sense of abandonment, with the neediness, it can take us into a place that we never imagined. And we realize that I really believe that's when we realize what we're chasing after we already had, but it was obscured by this label called loneliness and neediness, and you don't need to do that. That's weakness. You got low self-esteem. You know, I want to take a break there and here, and when we come back, I want us to, well, no, let me phrase that. When we come back, we're going to do Celestial Moment, and then after Celestial Moment, Krishna Sonifa, I want you to share whatever you're feeling, and then I want to talk about something that you brought to my awareness, that this whole thing about not being, hold on, Celeste, not wanting to embrace the neediness. You have a good way of breaking it down when you talk about humans being tribal and the side effect, if you will, of industrialization. I think that's a very powerful insight for us to look into. So let's take a break. And, if you're just joining us, my guest is Priestess Onifa Funke. And how can people reach you? Do you have a website where people can find out more about you? I know you do. That's a rhetorical question. Which website is a good one for people to go to find out about your work?
It would be www.sisterhealer, SISTAHEALER.com. Or I am well known on the internet and Facebook as Root Woman, ROOTWOMIN. So they can either Google Root Woman with an I, ROOTWOMIN. Or visit me at www.sisterhealer, SISTAHEALER.com. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. But now, Root Woman, I got to say something. You know you're so popular. You know everybody is connected with you. So, Root Woman, you don't really allow us to get close to you. I'm going to go to Sister Healer. You already know that now. I think you need to start deleting some folks. But I'm just saying, I just need you. I just need you to be able to connect with you on Facebook. So if people are not, you know, people who ain't really saying nothing to you, I think you can unfriend them. I'm just saying. So the website address again, the other one, the website is Sister Healer, or is it Sisters? Are you there?
Yes.
What happened? Oh, yeah, Sisters. Sister with an S, right? Sisters, S-I-S-T-A-H.
No,
oh, okay, try it again.
Yeah, you have it. S like sugar, I, S like sugar, T like Tom, A like apple, HEALER. Just one sister, not plural. Sister Healer.
And no, not double H, just, okay, sister.
No, double H, just one H.
Okay, because I just started it. Okay, let me see. I need to check something here. Oh, but okay. So, okay, let's take a call. Let's take it if she's still here. Oh, she's gone. What is this? Why am I hearing music?
I don't know. I don't hear it. It must be celestial music.
Oh, it's your website, I think.
Oh, yes.
Like,
oh, yes. My music
on?
Has, yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, beautiful pictures. Okay, I was like, what in the world is going on? Well, I just saw what you wrote, Celeste. Well, okay, all is well. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll continue to... Oh, Tamara's back. She's got to leave, so she wants to share something. So let's take a call. We're taking your call, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Hey, Tamara Joy, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, good, hey, good. Hey, I wanted to check in on the neediness factor. You know, it's an interesting thing. I over the years, I've accepted that I can be very, 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 very needy. And but I've also noticed, and I accept that, that there's a responsibility of how you use it or how you express it. And I just wondered, you know, what you guys thought, because I find that if you sit in the neediness and express it, I mean, if you're really expressing it, you're kind of saying to people, I'm needy, take care of me as an adult, that you can really chase people away with neediness, and that when other people are like appear to be in neediness, like a lot of the time, I feel like I want to get away from them. So I just... You know, that's just what came up with me as you were talking, that they're like to fully accept that part of yourself, but then to pick and choose when you take care of yourself and when you express it.
Go ahead, my dear friend, answer that question.
Okay. Thank you, Tamara, right, for that
question.
I agree with you. I think that our conversation today was like three steps before that, because we're just talking to people who won't even admit they are needy. Okay, so
okay,
we haven't
gotcha.
Even made it to what to do with it.
Okay.
And I agree completely
yeah.
with you that
yeah.
neediness, just like loneliness or just like happiness, you know, when you're happy and you decide to call in sick to work, I don't know if y'all remember, well, y'all may be too young, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
There was a school about a story about a boy who skipped school. He was extremely happy. So happiness can also be acted out in
yeah.
ways that pull people into positions they don't want to be in.
Right.
So I agree that neediness at that level where people want to get away from you, in my opinion, goes back to what life coach Ade was saying that I'll talk about in a little bit, which is we're tribal people and we are mammals. We're animals. We like to be around one another. It's normal biology. And when we are deprived of that over a period of time due to our cubicles and my car and my apartment, your apartment, and all these other separation issues, then it just piles up. And then you're like an empty pit that people shrink from. So
yeah.
I had one of the conference topics that he mentioned that I taught last month was about how to build, like I called it, a snack pack for yourself. So you didn't just get so hungry that you were just like an empty pit of need. But
yeah.
thank you for the question. And
yeah,
maybe if
yeah.
I'm invited back, we could talk about what do you do once you admit you're needy, then what happens? Because
right.
at this point, most people
yes.
want to admit it. So,
yes,
know,
and it is hard to admit it. And I sometimes, like my husband and I'll kind of make it into a game. Like I'll go, Tuesday night's going to be needy night, so you better get sleep Monday night. I'm going to be needy, needy, needy. And just like as a way to express it and accept it, although I don't think he likes the game too much. So I think I'm going to drop that game. I was sort of trying to just play with, you know, this one night I'm going to let it out. But I don't think it worked too well.
Also, Tamara, here's a trick. Do you guys have a date night? Do you,
we do.
Dave, have a, okay, so maybe your needy night, instead of calling it needy night, because he's
he wouldn't
want to
go on the date then.
Well, no, do a date
okay,
night
I'm
at
listening.
Home. Do a date night at home. That, for
yeah.
you, that's your needy night, but it'll be a date night at home. So you want to cuddle up, get
yeah.
his hair. Stay with yours. Just don't get on Facebook and talking about David and I are having a date night. We don't want to know. Enjoy that moment.
Yeah, yeah, and I think what you're talking about are healthy needs. So the healthy, you know, letting the healthy needs out and say,
Oh, you're going to set me up. We're trying to take a bake. But here's the thing.
All right, I got to go too.
I hear what you're saying. But when we start doing healthy needs and unhealthy needs, that's when we start creating mess. We don't say,
okay.
have you ever heard something say unhealthy happiness? I don't think, I've never heard it. Oh, that's unhealthy happiness. That's healthy happiness. Why is it that, why do we do that? Why do we run from neediness
But if we meet somebody who's passionate and happy, we want to run to them. The question is, what are we running from? Are we running from the person who's feeling needy, or are we feeling with our own recognition of our own neediness? I'll leave that there and take a break.
All right. We're going to talk some more, my friend. Thank you.
Yes,
I love the show today. It's fabulous. And talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We're going to come back with Celestial Moment. And we got some questions today. I know there's a question from yesterday that we're carrying over, a dream, actually. But I feel so much. I feel so much. Let's just take a break. And the number is 347-426-3346. If you brave enough to call it and say, hey, Life Coach Ade, Priestess Onifa Funke, I am needy. I dare you. Especially if you feel, oh, this resonates. Have you ever been needy? Do you try and hide it? Well, call Life Coach Ade. What are the symptoms? Oh, you will get to fall in love with yourself in a whole new way. What are the side effects? Oh, my God, you will know that all is well. Call Life Coach Ade now and share your neediness and share your loneliness. We're here to support you on your transformational journey.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to acknowledge that you are needy. We dare you to acknowledge you are lonely. As a matter of fact, you were abandoned. Oh, behind that, there's a love so profound, there are no words. You just be drunk.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hassan, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. To request a sponsorship package, email us at radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared? Or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, I'm Mark Hassan. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hassan, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Many blessings to you, Jack Armstrong. Thank you, thank you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We invite you to post your needy songs, your love songs, your sad songs on the like pages, Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show like page or Life Conversations Radio like page. Share your thoughts why you like the song. Let's make neediness sexy. Let's make lonely. Let's make people run to you when you say, I'm needy. It's like, really? Oh, I'm coming over. Yeah. And then if someone says, I'm feeling happy, it's like, yeah, big deal. We know about that. Yes, 347-426-3346. We're going to have a part two and even a part three. I already just feel it. Anyway, Celeste, woo, time is doing what time does. It keeps moving.
I know. I know. And you know what, today I have, I want to thank the education, the chat room from everybody, but particularly when I say Onifa, I know now I'm saying priestess. There are a lot of things that I gather from just my experiencing the elements, but I've never really understood all the titles. I might know Orishas, but I'm telling you, having her combine the this is the practical piece, so it's like you're saying priestess already. Okay, thank you. And then pulling in Ferris Bueller, are you kidding me? And then the love songs, I mean, there is sacred and humanity, and I love the way she's blending it. And I love your idea about making neediness sexy. You're going to bring neediness back? Okay, let me hurry up. Let me hurry up. I'm so on fire right now. I also received a confirmation from the ancestors today. Today is the first time that I actually picked a card, and that card showed up on tarot.com.
How many years ago?
What do you mean?
Today was the first time you picked a card, but it wasn't
today. No, you need to feel me right now. What I'm saying to you is, I prayed and I was like, okay, five is the energy of the day. I'm giving it up right now. And I decided to focus on five of cups on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, that's what I'm going to talk about today. And then the next thing I know, tarot.com actually posted that very card just a moment ago. So I received that as synchronicity. And this is a doubly divine celestial moment. And you know, so I'm just really ecstatic because that doesn't happen all the time. So I'm like, okay, universe, I hear you. So let me get to it. So
Let me see if I could do your song because we were having issues and I told you.
Well, while you're doing
Let me see. They said they work. They're going to test it. Let's see. I won't be able to fade it. We won't be able to hear you. It's not working.
I'm just
we'll just play a little bit of it and shut the door.
Play the first line.
Well, there you go. No. You ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Moving on. Good afternoon, family. It's Celeste here again, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is five, and if you happen to be celebrating a birthday today, this is your lesson card for the whole year. Five represents change and freedom. It also shows up as the High Priest in tarot, and the High Priest is astrologically connected to the sign of Taurus. Our throat chakra is our fifth chakra, and we are reminded to speak honey words of love when it's in balance. For five also belongs to an African goddess of love and sensuality, Oshun. She represents the sweet waters. Five is also the bear in medicine cards. And we are invited into the womb of life to trust the answers to come through dreams and introspection. The fifth letter of the alphabet is E, and words like empowered, ecstasy, and ego connect us to the divine energy of number five. Now today for a treat, we're going to marry the magic of five with the element of water in cups from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. Cups are vessels holding our feelings, emotions, desires, unconscious dreams, and visions. When we combine the five with the suit of cups, we are talking about how we deal with disappointment. We have five cups containing pearls floating in the ocean with five starfish serving as their cover. Three cups are steady and two are shown with pearls spilling out. There's a bit of a panic. Nobody wants their pearls to fall out. Pearls symbolize purity, honesty, innocence, integrity, concentration. It reflects the best within all of us. But the truth is, nobody can really take that away from you, even if you lose a jewel or two. We may require some deep sea diving to recover our wholeness in the midst of our grief journeys. But the tools for victory are also present on the card when we stay aware and understand the pieces. For instance, the starfish is a regenerative sea animal with amazing strength and five legs. Even in the face of pain and loss, you too have the power to start anew. And what dreams may come when you multiply the consciousness of truth. All is well. And that's the story of five, told through the five of cups. I'll see you on Wednesday, around one, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. Ah, yes, deep sea diving into the essence of who you really are. If you're just joining us, the theme, the topic is loneliness, neediness, and abandonment. This month, the theme is multiplying the consciousness of truth. How can you multiply the consciousness of truth if you keep subtracting from the experience? Don't subtract from the experience, the human experience. You got to add it all. When you add it together, you can multiply it. Then you have enough to play with. My guest, my friend, my sister, who is taking us on an inner journey of embracing who and what we are, is Priestess Onifa Funke. Her website address is sisterhealer.com. Healers, healer, no S. Sister Healer, S-I-S-T-A, healer.com. So much is just kind of dropping into my awareness. And if I'm not going to ask you a question, I know we want to talk about the being tribal. And because, you know, even now people still talk about, I want to be with like-minded folks. I want to be with like-minded people. And there's still a need to connect. We see in colleges where the black people stick together and the white people speak together and the Hispanics speak together. You know, it's just different things. Children say, well, I don't want to be with them. They're children. They're babies. They're 5 years old. I'm a teenager. It's just human nature. But somehow, I mean, and I love what Tamara said, healthy neediness. I love that thought. But the truth, because it helps me speak to this. It's like, why do we have to decorate neediness and loneliness and abandonment, but we don't decorate happiness and passion? You know, and then some people might say, well, that's unhealthy passion. But the minute we start doing that, I think that's an intellectual solution to a matter of the soul. So I'm just going to throw it over to you. Wherever you want to go, I'll ride with you. Let's go with it.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a wonderful. Thank you. First, the celestial moment, and five is really special to me, and it represents a lot for many people about what we were talking about, and that'll take me right into tribalism, meaning fours in my experience of tarot represent stability, but when five shows up, things are about to get a little jumpy. We normally don't see five-legged tables or five-legged chairs, so fives tend to make some people feel a little shaky because they want to hold on to what is familiar and what is more stable, what's perceived as being more stable, which brings me to tribalism. I do not mean tribalism in the way that we describe indigenous people like the Cherokee tribe or the Iroquois tribe. That's not what I mean at all. I mean the idea that human beings bond together for warmth and for protection, even if we do it unconsciously or not. We do it. We live in apartment buildings. We live in cities. Some of us veer out into the wilderness on our own and live apart, but that's a few. Most people tend to move around in large groups or in groups of some sort, and I think that's part of what the blockage may be for telecommuting for people work from home, because I wrote up in the chat room that many people go to work and create a tribe of folks who know their every move. They have a new car. They're going to have a baby. They broke up with someone. They like fish sticks, you know. I mean, the family at work becomes a family because, truthfully, they spend most of their waking hours or more with these work companions than they do the people who they're married to or they give birth to. And no one likes to look at that, but it's true. If you're doing a 40-hour week or more work week, unless you're working with your children and your family, you're getting to bond with other people who aren't related to you. So my point around that is that it is normal, even though we don't talk about it, for us to want to be with other people. And the Industrial Revolution brought us to a place where we really didn't have to work in family businesses or farms or and it wasn't idyllic by any means, but the point was that there was a time I typed up in the chat room where I have a bakery, Tamara feels needy. She can come and spend all day with me long as we're baking these rolls and biscuits and we're getting something done. So, you know, Tamara works out a lot of her neediness by coming to my bakery. I'm baking things, we're delivering them or packaging them or whatever. So people are still having someone to talk to acknowledge their presence, to see them, to acknowledge if they feel good or not, if you don't look right. You know, just to look, oh, you don't look right. You may need to take some peppermint tea or take this herb or vitamin, just to check in, like, oh, I see you. I see you. I see that there's a change in you, be it, you know, a change you desire or a change that may be undesirable. We got that when we were spending more time together. But once the Industrial Revolution came, we were kind of split up to little cubicles and workstations in a way that kind of blocked a lot of human contact. And consequently, out of that, you know, we get the public school systems, and we're kind of, in America, we're kind of taught this thing of independence as part of our culture where you're supposed to do everything yourself and not really need other people. So get your own car, get your own apartment, get your own house. Don't you dare live with your parents after a certain age. It shows you are weak, or, you know, we make these comedies about failure to launch, like you're somehow a failure. Where in a lot of the rest of the world, like a lot of the world, it's expected that the adult child will move his or her spouse in with the parents, and they bond together in close proximity for business reasons, economic reasons. And there again, when the child was born, grandma's watching the child, so we don't really have a daycare thing going on. So there's a lot of factors in our culture that serve to keep us split and to benefit from it, you know? And then there's the whole psychological discourse of if you are a failure or a winner or a loser or a winner, if you have all of your own stuff, stuff you may only use once a year. You know, I know people who have kayaks. They only kayak once a year, but it's their kayak and it's in their garage, and gosh darn it, they're not going to share with anybody because it's some sort of social status symbol to have all this stuff and you've gotten it with your own money, and that's the way you're supposed to prove you're an independent adult. So what does that mean? That means you don't have a lot of contact with people even when you could, you know, and there's all these new things now where you can share your stuff, even sharing. It's so pitiful, though. My grandmother's neighbor would just knock at the door and say, can I use your iron? But now they have a website where you sign up and say, I'm willing to loan my iron. This is my zip code. And then you meet two people who need your iron. So the point is we keep coming full circle, and now it's trendy and hip to do, like, neighborhood gardening. My grandparents just called it the garden, you know, and people shared. But the point is we need each other. And when we don't acknowledge our need in a healthy way, back to Tamara, it can turn into a monster, you know, that kind of overwhelms the needy person and the people around them. It can create a domino effect of the person getting less of what they want. They're not being acknowledged. They're not welcome to parties. No one wants to invite them to the baby shower because all they do is talk about themselves, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of that has to do with how we have arranged our lives for materialism to reflect our success. I think it's Italy that says a successful man is the one with most friends, or the one with the most friends. I know in Yoruba culture, traditional Yoruba culture, wealth is reflected by the amount of people you take care of. I mean, that's how you become a chief. You become a chief because people rely on you. And it's a good thing. It's not like, oh, the dirty bum,
He needs to get a job. Well, of course, there's always in any grouping, there's one or two people, or maybe more, who are dealing with some other issues beyond the normal amount of work they can put out and things they can receive in. But a chief is someone who 100, or I don't know, there's no number on it, but people can look to help them navigate the legal system, the medical system, to help their children make the school fees if they lose their jobs or whatever. So a chief isn't just a, in traditional way of speaking, it's not a title that you don't get without some level of responsibility to others. And that's something that we used to have over here when I was a small child. I remember certain organizations in the African-American community, the Masons, the Eastern Star, that still reflected this thing of someone can achieve a certain rank not only by studying the esoterica, but by being responsible for other people in their community. But I get the impression that isn't as popular. Those organizations are not growing as much as they did maybe when I was a kid, or they were waning even then. So I bring this up to say I'm not seeing reflected in regular mainstream society places for people to get social, spiritual, emotional, and physical recognition for them being interconnected to other people. And that would be the extension of positive neediness, ultimately. And my life coach, Ade, brought that word back to my awareness recently, that interconnectedness, or interdependence is how he phrased it, would be what we're looking for, as opposed to I am so incredibly needy that I want to, you know, I don't want to live anymore because no one even knows I'm on the planet. That's an extreme case in any situation. But what we want is the ability to kind of dance with this, you know. One day I'm the needy person. Matter of fact, if we were living healthier in community with one another, and I don't mean sharing a house necessarily, I mean emotional communion. If we had that, we wouldn't be sitting around talking about needy, because much like certain cultures where certain psychological aberrations in the West don't exist, I'm not sure neediness could exist in a place. There may be other things that come up, but the idea of someone being so terribly lonely that he or she goes into self-mutilation or drugs or alcohol, those extreme responses to that emotional hunger may not be there if we are meeting emotional needs cooperatively and interdependently. So there really isn't a needy discussion. It may be the opposite, which is more like, you know, I wonder what it's like to be alone for a week. Last but not least, we kind of see that reflected, remnants of it in certain spiritual practices where people say, I'm going on a spiritual retreat. And I don't think we really think about what that means. It must mean that I'm so much connected to people 24/7 that the aberration is for me to take off and go be by myself for 7 days or 3 days. That's the opposite, where over here we're so different. I have my apartment, my car, I'm doing my thing. For me to see my friends is something I have to plan for. Like in other communal cultures, they plan for time away. I have to get a calendar, go through all these weird gyrations to find time, you know, to sit with someone.
And have
play
dates.
You can have play dates.
Yes.
In an artificial environment, just sit and stare at someone over something to drink. It's not even organic. You're not at my house because I didn't have time to cook or pick anything up at the store. I may not even know how to cook because I'm so busy working, and you don't have time. No one has time, but we're going to sit somewhere and look at each other, look at our watches and say, okay, that's not fulfilling. It's not cutting it. And I don't know if anyone wants to admit it or not, but I think our health is showing it. And I don't mean high blood pressure, diabetes, which could be part of that, but the emotional gamut of what we're going through is showing that happy hours as a way of communing with people isn't doing it, nor is the work day or Saturday night girls out. We're missing something. And I think re-embracing needy loneliness and abandonment and our overt need is just built in to be tribal. I think those are things for us to look at and ponder
And we now keep rebuilding these new tribes we're building, you know, as we speak. People are bonding through Facebook or whatever, MySpace, YouTube, whatever it is. I find it, lastly, that through Facebook, people are still tribal. Like, I'm invited or added to all these groups around common interests. So people took this medium and they immediately started to build tribes. Immediately. It's like it's in us. We can't get away from it. So I hope we make it work for us instead of being afraid of it.
Yes, yes, indeed. That, you know, we've got to have another conversation on this because this is just like an appetizer and an invitation for listeners, myself included, all of us to ask ourselves, where is a safe space for adults who are needy, adults who are feeling lonely, adults who are feeling abandoned? As a matter of fact, that might be you. That might be you. Is it just with a therapist? Is it just behind somebody's closed door? Why is it acceptable for children to express it, but as an adult it's not acceptable? What if we're not judging loneliness, judging neediness or abandonment, and we're not judging passion and happiness and excitement? If all of it was just one human experience, would we be different? Would we gather together at a park to talk about, oh, last night I was so needy, I almost lost my mind. Oh, my God, I was texting all my friends. They were replying back to me. I still felt like I needed more. Or, oh, it's the same way we talk about, let me tell you about this wonderful experience. We're too judgmental about the human experience, and that's why we're spiritually stuck. Because the real experience that brings us back to ourselves, we judge and criticize it. We don't want to talk about neediness. We don't want to really admit it because we are ashamed. You know, it just goes on and on and on. But you think about the power of emotions. There's more to talk about. I want to address a question that we didn't talk, get to yesterday. And I want my dear sister, Priestess Onifa Fonke, to share her thoughts. I got my interpretation book here because that dream was so powerful and so deep. So anyway, let me bring on Celeste. She's going to read the question to us. And Celeste, you ready?
You better be. Ooh, he is just so demanding.
I'm ready. And you don't need to say Priestess Onifa. It's just Onifa Funke, because saying Onifa is like saying Priestess, right, Onifa? I'm learning.
You're right.
I call
her Onifa anyway, so, you know.
Because she's the bomb. I love it. You didn't have to hurt me on this on a happy hour, though, Priestess. You didn't have to go there. That kind of hurt. Wrong for that. You just feel your family. That's it. You're wrong for that, though. You don't have to read people while you're on the air, okay?
Come on now. You just said she's a priestess, right? And then you said she doesn't have to do what priestess do.
I'm like, she don't have to read like that. I don't know. Look, I'm yelping. You know, if it hits you, if the dog, if something's thrown and the dog starts yelping, then there's your issue. Yelp. Ouch. Thank you for that.
I heard dog it. Holler.
Yeah, there we go. Hit dog holler, and that woman knocked me upside my head. Like, oh, what was that? In the middle of the day. I love you for it. I heard you, though. I heard you. I need you to know I heard you. Okay, so here's the question. It's an amazing dream. Dear Life Coach Today, I had a dream, and I wonder if you might see something different using your life coaching tools. I was married to my current husband. Then I met a giant on a rooftop, a real giant. Later in the dream, I divorced my current husband and went on a date with the giant. This date turned into a wedding. I looked down and I turned into a bride. At the wedding, I went to the altar to find out there was a surprise. People I didn't know well appeared, and then an ancestral visit from my grandfather. I was so happy to see him. I was crying in my sleep. And then I woke up. What do you see, Jasmine?
This is rich. Go ahead, my dear friend. Do your thing. Let me throw it over to you first.
Okay, I'm going to try to
and
be that, good.
That might be the only answer, so go ahead, just be free. We still got about 10 minutes.
Celeste told me I got to be good. I'll be trying, Celeste. I really do. I try to just hold it. So I'm gonna say it, then we go work it out. So, okay.
Okay.
Okay, but I love that. Thank you for, I knew, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, okay. that she needs to quit hiding behind her marriage as an excuse not to develop her connection and commitment to her own higher self. And once she steps into the marriage with herself that Life Coach Ade was talking about earlier, that her higher self, her we call it Ori, her, there's a portion of her that is grander than she has realized in her life. She has not developed her fullness. And that giant is calling her into a deeper relationship with it. And she may perceive it as that, well, a married woman doesn't do this. She may have this false idea that my husband wouldn't like it if I learned to be a scuba diver. My husband wouldn't like it if I learned to be a tile ceramicist or whatever people do. That she's hiding behind her marriage, possibly, as an excuse not to marry and step into that large, giant selfhood that she was born here to live out. And once she chooses to do that and to have that kind of wedding, the blessing of her ancestors show up. They're trying to tell her it's okay to step into your fullness. Now, the idea of physically divorcing her husband is her own construct. The truth of it is that he may no more leave her for becoming her full self than she would leave him for becoming his full self, but that's something she's got to look at. But that giant is her. That's her higher, more, her potentiality. We would say her ayanmo, her destiny, is calling her to step from behind what she hides behind as an excuse not to meet it, marry it, and fulfill herself. And then her ancestors show up and say, you know, and of course her grandfather, because those blessings come from your fathers, the fathers of your ancestry, be there on your mother or father's side, those blessings come forth that way. So that's my interpretation. Hope it wasn't a happy hour moment, but I tried. I tried.
Oh, I know the person who had this dream. But go ahead, Life Coach today. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, just a little bit I'm going to add to it, because, I mean, similar, the idea of divorcing is letting go. You know, the husband represents masculinity, the part of you that is so much more, that is a giant. And, you know, the idea of it was a date. First you're trying to see, you know, if this part of you that you're blending with, that you're merging with, if you're really sure about it. And then it turned to a wedding that you're joining together through the power invested in you. Like, I'm joining together. So here's the opportunity to be more. And then you get to really show up as a goddess. You get to show up as a goddess. That I love the fact that the grandfather showed up. And for me, I see this person going through a process of blending. And, you know, you have a choice. You can either get scared or you can say your future, your soul is calling you higher. It's all about you. It's all about you, and it's about a blending of the masculine and the feminine. And, oh, my God, your grandfather is so happy and saying, come on, let's do this. And, yes, when you are touched by love, ancient love, it invokes so much emotion that you can't put into words. All you can do is cry. It comes out in tears because there are no words to express a love so deep, which really – sometimes some of us are disconnected from grandfathers and grandmothers, and we end up being needy because we didn't have it, and then we're judged for acknowledging what we're feeling, and then we're confused, so we go out and buy some other things. I just tied the question in with today's topic. So anyway.
Wow. I thank you both. This friend of mine is a personal friend of mine. I cannot wait to share your answers with her, and I will be sharing it. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great rest of the show. You're both a blessing. And Ade, I know you know the language, man. I was messing with you, okay? I'm just saying that publicly, okay?
I ain't tripping.
I just want to go on.
Shouty, I ain't tripping by nothing.
Oh, he sounds so funny when he does slang. I love it. All right.
No Southern accent or Southern
please
slang.
Come back again. Anissa, please come back again.
Thank you.
Okay?
She is coming back. It's written in the universal book. And she's Life coming back. Yeah, I know, I see. But she's coming back. She's coming back. She's going to come back. She can't help but come back.
When she does come back, can you also get her to tell us the meaning of her name all the way through again? I know she's done it before, but that would be great. Okay.
If I
Okay, at this point, yeah, I will, yeah, de. All right. If she comes back, I'll get her to do it.
Come on, what happened?
So, oh, let me do this because I keep thinking about it's coming up. I played the song I Need You by Hezekiah Walker at the beginning of the show. His website address is lovefellowship.com, lovefellowship.com. And we'll figure out which song we're going to play at the end. I don't know. Let's see. Is anybody in the chat room? She was coming back. We knew you were coming back, so don't even worry. We knew you were coming back, my sister. So, Celeste, what?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead,
I'm
Celeste.
I'm so excited. Anissa, can you please go through your full name and give us the gift of its meaning?
Sure. Okay. Onifa is used as a first name by some people. So technically, in the Yoruba religious context, it means someone who has Ifa. And if I have Ifa, that means I'm an Ionifa. So it's kind of a designation of my attainment of initiation as well as my relationship with Ifa. So it would be several ways to speak to me. One is Ia Ifa Funke. Ia Ifafunke Adesanya Awoyade. And again, if you get into the technicalities, when the Ifafunke comes first, you know I have Ifa. So you know I'm an Ia. Ia means priestess. Or Onifafunke is really saying someone who has Ifa, whose name is Ifafunke Adesanya Awoyade. So Onifa stands as a title. And people who know me for many years have seen me go through several initiations, and my name keeps changing. It's really like 9 or 12 words long. So this is the shortest version I can give you that will keep us all on the same, probably radio show without me doing a whole show on my name. But Onifa Funke is like saying Ia Funke or Priestess Funke or Ia Nifa Funke. That's what it really is saying, if that makes sense. So Onifa is a title. As well as, it's a title. That's all I can say. It's a title to someone who has Ifa in the sense of being initiated to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Sarah. I hope that makes sense. If not, let me know.
No, it does. I was in touch, Root Woman. You're beautiful. I'm so glad you're on Life Coach Today, Connector.
Yes, she is.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. I like to explain it when I can. Thank you.
Oh, yes. All right.
It's almost time to finish the show. Thank you, Celeste. And listeners, those of you listening on the archive, you can post your your songs, your sad songs, your love songs on the fan page. Ask Life Coach at the radio show, Life Conversations Radio. Yeah, just post it there. Share your story if you feel like it. And if you don't, if you're too afraid to tell us you're lonely, okay, you come around. We'll be here for you whenever you're ready. If you felt abandoned and you don't really, you're struggling, we're here for you. Before we release the show, my dear sister friend, anything else you want to share? You got 2 minutes to share, to just enjoy the next 2 minutes to share whatever is on your heart, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking.
Wow. Okay. I want to thank everyone for taking this journey with us, and I'm very conscious that this show may be heard many, many years from now in many different places, and I just want to concur with what Life Coach Ade has said. We're always holding you up in the light and the love of your very being. And we also ask that when you say your prayers and devotions to the divine, that you hold us up so we can continue to do this work. Life Coach Ade, producer Celeste, myself, and all the other guests to come aboard to kind of give you a spiritual shout out to let you know you're not here alone. You're never alone. And that we're all in this together. So there is nothing you are feeling that any of us have not felt. We're all being human right now. Right now at this time and space. We have human bodies, and we're experiencing or have experienced something that you may be going through. So don't hold it in. Don't be shy. And most of all, don't be afraid to say, I feel needy, or I feel lonely, or I feel abandoned, because those are feelings, and they will pass. Just like the weather is going to change, your feelings are going to pass. The point is for you to sit through them and be with them, and in that way you're being with yourself. Don't abandon yourself. Don't leave yourself when you're needy, and don't leave yourself when you're lonely. And that's what I'd like to share with everyone. That's it.
I love that. And if, even if others leave you, don't leave you. Be there for you. That's an act of love. Oh, Nifa Funke, I love you. I love you, and I thank God for you. And I give thanks to my ancestors who just joined forces with yours to say, we need them to get together and know each other, because he's all out by himself, feeling all alone, thinking we ain't listening to him. He's the one that ain't listening. But anyway, we got a remedy for him. I'm laughing at my own self. All right,
that's
on that note. Oh,
good.
I love my
life.
Life
is funny. That's right. Life is funny.
I love you. And I will talk to you later, my sister friend. I appreciate
you. I love you too, my Coach Ade and Celeste and everyone listening. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It is our pleasure. It is my pleasure. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be true to yourself, because love is your identity. And when you recognize love is your identity, you have no issues with being loved. And if you do, you just say, you catch yourself. Be loved. Allow yourself to be loved and say, I feel needy today. I'm feeling lonely today. I have shame about something I did. That's how you allow yourself to be loved. This is Karen Drucker. We'll be back tomorrow. Solo show. Don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'm sure it'll be downloaded. We'll be told. We, all of us that are listening. Karen Drucker, your prayer is my prayer today. To find out more about Karen Drucker, her website address is karendrucker.com. The shows are archived, as you know, so feel free to listen again. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Your prayer is my prayer. I got you. We're out. We're in. KarenDrucker.com. Your prayer is my prayer. Thank you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.